Hello and welcome to the last episode of season one of The Modern Bohemian. I can't believe I just said that sentence. This whole process has simultaneously felt so short and so long. We launched on December 1st, and here we are now in April, landing the plane and regrouping before season two. I want to thank you so, so much for listening, for subscribing, for leaving a five-star review, for sharing this podcast with your friends, and for reaching out to me personally to say what's resonating with you, what's helped you, what you're learning. Your feedback and support have been so encouraging. Doing this podcast has honestly changed me. When I first started, I was so conscious of every word that I said, so afraid to say something wrong or offensive or just sound really stupid. But just cranking it out from week to week, I started to find my stride and let go of the pressure I was putting on myself and just give myself some grace and focus on the cool stories and guests that I've gotten to share with you. It's very much been an audio diary of my explorations and learnings and interests during this phase of my life, and I'm so glad that it has impacted you and helped you along the way. It's been so much fun, so fulfilling. I'm going to say a little bit more at the end of today's episode, so be sure to stay tuned. But I wanted to introduce today's amazing guest, Ashley Spanovich. She is a non-toxic interior designer and an environmental health coach based in Denver. We connected on Instagram, and she's actually a friend of Jessica Kristen, the clean living coach from episode 2. Ashley is so incredibly knowledgeable and has a crazy grouping of skills and certifications that qualifies her to not only design beautiful spaces, but to ensure that they are safe and healthy from top to bottom. And she does that through her multifaceted design company, Awakening Spaces. You can find that at awakeningspaces.com and on Instagram at Awakening Spaces. She has just transitioned to doing that full time, so you're going to be hearing a lot more from her, a lot more educational content, and super helpful practical stuff. I've learned so much just by following her account, so definitely go check it out. In today's episode, Ashley tells us about her battle with health issues due to toxic mold exposure in her living space. She tells us how to properly treat and prevent mold, how to reduce electromagnetic radiation exposure from our electronics, how to purify the water and air in our homes, and what to consider when purchasing new furniture and other home essentials. It is packed with information, so be sure to head to kristensigmund.com/podcast where you can find links to everything we mention. Obviously, this is a very big and complex topic, but it's another one of those one step at a time things, and it all starts with awareness. If you're someone who is struggling with mystery health symptoms or things that you're trying are just not working, Ashley provides consultations where you can see if maybe your home environment could be contributing to those issues. Ashley is a 5-1 manifester in human design, and I have so loved getting to know her a little bit. We had a great conversation. She has such a warm and grounded presence. When we recorded, she had just gotten back from Sedona, which I hope to visit again soon. And she was cozied up in a big comfy sweater preparing for the snowstorm that Denver got a few weeks ago. So here's my conversation with Ashley Spanovich of Awakening Spaces. Yeah, I want to hear how you started Awakening Spaces, where it all began, because you have all of these amazing qualifications and all of these cool different streams of knowledge and things that you're studying that go into it so perfectly. So where did it all start?
Yeah, so it started a very long time ago. After I graduated from design school, I was kind of out in the real world and starting to work. And I just noticed that my health was kind of tanking and I didn't really know what was going on. I mean, I just had really bad gut issues. I was tired all the time. I had very bad brain fog to the point where it was like concerning to me. And I'd be like, I don't know what's wrong. I can't remember. I mean, this is how bad it got. There would be people that I knew standing in front of me and I couldn't remember their name. And it was so, so incredibly scary. And I would tell people like, I don't know what's going on. Like, I can't remember. And people are like, oh, yeah, I can't remember anything either. It's part of getting older. Like, that's just what happens when you get older. I mean, I'm like 25 at this
I
point.
know, I'm
Really?
like, you're not that
I'm like 25 and I'm already like forgetting this kind of thing. Like, this isn't right. So like I knew that something wasn't right, but I didn't know what was wrong, because
Right.
otherwise I seemed healthy. Like I worked out and, you know, I felt like I was eating well. So I ended up starting to just dig on my own and really getting into like food as medicine and really trying to figure out like what diets I could be eating. And so I was vegetarian and then I was completely vegan. I mean, I tried everything. And that's really like where my health journey began, was kind of experimenting with nutrition and recognizing the role that our diet really truly plays in our overall health. And so that's when I decided to study at the Institute for Integrative Nutrition. And I was getting really deep into health and wellness, and I was really exciting. And I was about to just become a full-time health coach. Like I was helping and working with women. It was very slow to start, but I was really enjoying it. So
yeah.
I started there. And then it wasn't until years later that I took a trip to Mexico and I had gotten so incredibly sick. And I came home and I was like, I think I need like a good probiotic. I think I need to heal my gut. I mean, this is me not really knowing anything at that point. And I'm like, I'm going to find a practitioner who can get me like a good quality probiotic. And that is how I was led to my functional nutrition practitioner, who's literally taught and helped me and just guided me in so many ways. She actually opened up this entire world to me that I had never knew about. So I started working with her. She's like, oh yeah, I can get you a probiotic, but I also do tests for your gut. So we did a GI map and we found all types of things going on. And so she really helped me start at the foundations of like getting to what is called root cause medicine. And so finding what it is that's causing these symptoms for us. You know, there's a reason that I can't remember things. There's a reason that my gut is, you know, in shambles. And so the other thing she had me do simultaneously was take a mold quiz. And this essentially evaluates, it has me answer a couple questions to see if I should get tested for mycotoxins in my system, which is mold. And yeah, I took the mycotoxin test. And then a couple weeks later, she's like, oh my gosh, I didn't even realize, but you answered 13 out of 16 on the mycotoxin quiz. Like, we need to test you for mycotoxins. And that was really where it was like, I just opened up this can of worms and this new world of like, holy crap, most of my symptoms are caused from mold in my environment.
Oh my
and God. It was just crazy because I had spent all these years studying design and practicing interior design and learning about our built environment, and I just was shocked that no one had really brought this up in such a way of how it could really affect you. You know, you think of mold, you think of asthma, allergies, sinuses, which I had those as well, but those were not the things that led me to question my health and to seek for answers. So then the real motivation behind everything was simultaneously as I was discovering this whole new world. My best friend who lives in Pittsburgh, she had been months prior to me finding this out, she had been experiencing mystery symptoms as well, but they were definitely like a way higher level of trouble than mine were. Like it was almost debilitating for her. You know, there were days she couldn't even get out of bed. She, you know, was having just all of these different symptoms going on and had no idea and was going to all these different doctors to try to figure out what was going on. And no one was able to pinpoint what was going on. And it turned out that she found out that she had been working in a studio. She was a fitness and nutrition health coach as well. She was working in a studio that there was a flood. And she found out that from floor to ceiling, the walls were covered in Stachybotrys and Ketomium, which are some of the really, really toxic molds. And she had been working out of this studio for 9 months. So she also realized that mold was a huge part of what was going on with her. And she developed a lot of sensitivities from that long-term exposure. She developed multiple chemical sensitivities, MCAs, a lot of these different things that people will categorize as chronic illness. So it's these different factors and root causes that come together and just are like a domino effect in our bodies that create just this toxicity in our bodies that then make somebody super sensitive. Wow. So my friend found out that this was going on with her. I found out that mold was playing a part in my symptoms as well. She ended up coming to visit me in Denver and she couldn't be in my house. She was experiencing such quick reactions from just being in my house. So it was interesting. This is all sort of the awakening to me of like, wow, this is what can happen when somebody is exposed and their environment plays such a role in their health. Right. And it's almost like the term canary in a coal mine. I don't know if you've ever heard that before.
Yeah.
So that term actually comes from back in the day, the coal miners would bring canary birds into their mines because they were early detectors of methane gas. And so they would use the bird as almost like a detection device to know if they were going to be getting exposed to these harmful chemicals themselves.
Right.
So my friend and a lot of people who become exposed to mold for long periods of time and now have this type of chronic illness, they sort of become like these early detectors and warning signs. So she was able to walk into my house and say, there's a problem here. Whether it's mold, whether it's toxic chemicals, there's a problem and I have to go. And so we ended up going to multiple different hotels and she was able to walk right in and be like, I'm going to be okay here or I'm not going to be okay here.
Wow.
And just really the whole experience led both of us to question like, why is it so hard to find a safe place? And how is it that our environment can actually put our health at such a risk that we end up in this place? And that is kind of when like my whole world changed and my strong motivation was really to try to figure out to help her and help others who are in her position. Because I have all these skills, I have a great foundation of interior design and the construction industry, but it was like, I put a just different lens on everything. And the way that I look at it is just changed. And so that is sort of how Awakening Spaces got started.
Wow.
You know, it was crazy that it all happened like simultaneously to us and at different levels too, you know, like everyone is different and unique and our toxicity levels vary. And there's also a genetic predisposition that one can have that makes it a lot harder for them to detox from mold. And my friend was one of those people. So yeah, all of that led to Awakening Spaces. And then that's also what led me to studying building biology, which I'm currently pursuing.
So interesting.
Yeah. And so I am doing the three pathways, which will allow me to evaluate and assess a current environment for electromagnetic radiation, as well as any environmental contaminants, as well as learning some of the tactics to become a new build consultant. So how do we build from the ground up and use strategies that can avoid this altogether?
Yes, I love that that is a thing. I didn't know that until looking on your website and looking into some of the things you were mentioning. I was like, this is awesome that that is like now such an important consideration in new buildings and especially homes, because that's so important.
Yeah. And we're seeing a lot of like, I mean, the sustainability movement and the green movement has really opened up a lot of doors and tools that are available to us now, and resources. It's so much easier to find resources for healthier options, but sustainable doesn't always mean healthy. And everyone is very individual. So even just because it says it's green or sustainable or it has a certification, you know, I want to encourage everyone I work with to always be their own detective still, because they're moving in the right direction, but it's still not fully there. You know?
Right. And so for anyone listening now who might already be overwhelmed and maybe experiencing these symptoms, you really break it down and make it so easy. So, I mean, even just your blog I was on yesterday, looking at your suggestions for vacuum cleaners and how you vetted all these vacuum cleaners. I'm like, oh, thank you. That's like the last thing that I want to research, and you've done it. So describe some of the services that you offer that someone can be like, okay, this is my girl. Like, I've got to book a consultation with her right now.
Yeah.
Describe that.
So my company has sort of two parts. My real zone of genius is it really lies in the helping you rebuild after you've been exposed, or if you're just a health conscious person looking to rebuild, whether you're starting from scratch in the ground up, or you're just remodeling, and finding ways where we can look at the entire home as a living, breathing organism and how it works with nature and not against it.
I like that.
And really promoting optimal health from within. So that's sort of like the full service interior design portion. And then the other portion is sort of consultation. And so this varies. I've helped people with trying to find homes and looking for red flags, things that may or may not be potential threats in a home when they're looking to purchase. So we would look at things like up on the site. We would look for things that might be EMF or electromagnetic frequency hazards. Are they close to power lines? Are they, you know, where is the power coming into the house? Those types of things. And then also I've just sort of guided people in the direction of just exactly that. We hop on an hour call and they say, hey, these are some things that are going on in my house. Can you just kind of help me figure out what my best options are? And I look at the space in a way that's just unique to them, because, you know, I can give a lot of these options for non-toxic recommendations and things, but until I know what's going on in your specific environment, it's kind of hard to know. And so the other thing is looking at environmental testing and things like that. So if you wanted to test for mold, we could look at testing for mold. However, that doesn't end with me. I can help navigate that road with people, but ultimately you're going to want to have a qualified inspector coming in and evaluating that and actually finding and helping you get the proper remediation done. So when I'm certified as an environmental consultant and an electromagnetic radiation consultant in the summer, I will be able to go in and do that. I'll probably start locally in Denver.
Amazing. But as
of now, I'm just sort of helping navigate those roads with the knowledge that I have, and kind of directing people to the right professionals to actually get in there and do the work.
Yeah, let's get into some specifics. So I want to talk about, first of all, mold, because I even sent you a photo on Instagram that was like, hey, I've got this mold in my shower. Like, is this a problem? And I didn't know. I mean, you know, just growing up, you hit the mold with bleach. And so, yeah, you actually have some better alternatives for how to get rid of mold if it's just a few spots or whatever. So yeah, tell us a little bit about that.
Well, first of all, bleach is just terrible. I wish it didn't even exist. Like, just cleaning with bleach in general, it's just such a toxic fume. And I think, like, you know, mixing bleach and ammonia, I think it is, it's like can create like a really lethal reaction. I mean, bleach is just not a great chemical to have in your house. So just touching quickly on cleaning in general, you can do a lot with hydrogen peroxide, which will kill mold, with rubbing alcohol, and with white vinegar. Those are like my three, always have on hand, always have in spray bottles for just quick, easy fixes. And I do have a blog post that really talks about what each one of those does and sort of what you should and shouldn't use it on. Like, there's certain materials that you might not want to use rubbing alcohol directly on and whatnot. So, but for, if you see mold in your shower, a quick thing to do is to start, I suppose, with the hydrogen peroxide.
Okay.
And see, mold is tricky. It depends on how much mold we're looking at. Like, where's the mold coming from? Are you just seeing like little bits of it in your shower tub? It looks like if it's just a little bit, the hydrogen peroxide might work. If it's looking like it's sort of coming out of the cracks, though, you just want to be really careful when you're messing with mold that you're not trying to clean something that's a bigger problem and trying to do too much on your own and not doing it the right way.
Right.
Professionally removing mold is highly recommended, because the way that they do it is they do it with negative pressure and they vent it out, because when you start tampering with mold, it can start spewing spores out and away. So let me just explain a little. This is what really helps me to understand mold.
Yes.
So mold is a living organism. It's just like us. And it only needs three things to survive. It needs food, water, and a warm place to hang out. So the food that it likes is just dust. I mean, it's as small as dust. So anything, even if it's plastic and it has dust on it, it can grow mold.
Wow.
So that's all that mold needs to grow, and needs moisture. And that could be a little bit of moisture, or it could be water from a leaking sink. It could be humidity. So keeping the humidity levels in the home lower than 45%. And you can get a little thermometer that actually, you can get one on Amazon or any general store that tells you what the relative humidity in your home is. So keeping that lower than 45%. And a warm place to hang out, that's, they like the same exact temperatures as us. So
your house, basically.
They love our house. They love our homes. And the thing about mold is they just want to grow and be with their family, and they want to protect their family. So like, I think of like mold as a person, and it's just like very protective. It wants to protect their family. So when it senses danger, when this organism senses danger, it starts spraying out. It's trying to populate. It's trying to create more so that it doesn't die. And it's also producing what is called as a mycotoxin. And that is their number one defense mechanism. That is their weapon. So mold is usually trying to fight other molds from growing, so other species. And so we'll use this defense mechanism to try to kill this other mold so it can have the most food. It can have the most water.
Wow.
But what's happening is this mycotoxin is really toxic to us. And so it's making us very sick. And so that's just kind of an easy way to think about mold. So when you're trying to kill mold, especially with bleach, it senses that as a very toxic substance coming at it, and it's going to start spraying more and repopulating. So I think that just keeping that in mind when you're trying to clean mold, and knowing and wearing, you know, the right protection, whether that's a mask, or, you know, gloves, just things like that, so that you're protecting yourself, so that you're not inhaling any of the spores that are coming off of that, then I think that's going to be really helpful.
That is so helpful. I did not know any of that about mold. And so, and you were talking about sealing, like resealing kind of those spots in a shower too, right? Just making sure all the cracks are covered and...
Yeah. So some of the ways just to maintain a shower area, because this is a wet area.
Yes.
So thinking about all the wet locations of your home and really trying to keep an eye on these locations. So making sure that underneath of your sinks are clear and clean enough so that you can notice if there's a small leak. And same thing with your shower, making sure you're always cleaning the grout and making sure that you're sealing around any areas so that there's no way that, you know, moisture can travel underneath the tile or in the cracks. But like I said, if you're seeing something, also making sure that there's not something happening behind the shower, like there wasn't a leak happening behind the actual faucet or something like that, and it's kind of growing beyond your shower. So yeah, just making sure that that stuff is like properly caulked. Sorry, I'm like off. I'm actually like looking at my shower now to describing this to you. But yeah, just making sure that stuff is properly caulked is going to be really essential. And also making sure that you're running your exhaust fan in your bathroom while you're showering, and at least 15, 20 minutes after you're showering is really going to help dry up the restroom and remove that moisture from that area after you've showered. So the humidity level is going to be very high in that room. So, you know, managing your dust in the bathroom is also going to be essential, because dust is what mold likes to eat. And if you have a high humid area and dust, then you can have mold. So
never really thought about dusting my bathroom, but now I'm going to.
And then I also have like a great resource on my blog of like the tools you should be using to dust that actually capture up the toxins and things like that. So it's
perfect.
A great resource. Some really great mold resources too, is like I said earlier, I'm checking out Mold Finders.
Yes.
He's an awesome resource for mold.
Good. Thank you for all these resources. Yeah. This is just something that you don't hear about a lot. We need to know this stuff. So something else that I've learned so much from you is about EMFs and EMR, right? Am I saying those right? And you're studying those right now and just the effects that those have in the home and how we can manage those levels coming at us. So talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, EMR, which stands for electromagnetic radiation, that is sort of the over-encompassing term to describe all of these different frequencies and this electrical pollution that we have in our environments now. If you think about it, like technology has boomed within, I know for my entire life, I'm in my 30s. So I can't remember the first time I got a computer, but I remember being young and my mom getting like a car phone. We didn't have cell phones, And so it's like just thinking about how fast that's grown in such a short span of time. Like if you really think of like the overall like timeline of what the world and how short, humans are just, we're kind of like test subjects. We're gonna have to learn, our bodies are learning to adapt to this type of pollution. And we're constantly being bombarded with it, from our computers to our Wi-Fi to our cell phones to, the keyboard I'm working on to my electric range to my dishwasher to my refrigerator. I mean, everything is plugged
Everything.
in. And so it's definitely, I think we're going to be hearing a lot more about EMFs. And unfortunately, I think there's not been as many studies done because telecommunications companies have a lot of money. And unfortunately, I think there's a lot of like interest in trying to avoid all this stuff kind of being tested and brought to the surface. So some things we can do on our own is just be aware. And the best thing you can do is be aware and reduce your use. I mean, these things are free. So, well, first I want to talk about there's a Dr. Klinghart who had done a study and he tested cultures of mold. And he found out in his tests that mold grew 600 times faster in the presence of ambient EMF. So that's just like with your lights on, your computer on, your cell phone nearby, than it did when the mold was actually in a Faraday cage, and a Faraday cage can put blocks EMF. So he determined that mold grows 600 times faster when exposed to EMF.
Oh my
So
gosh.
if you think about that, if we have mold in our bodies because we have mycotoxins in our bodies and we're sick from mold, then what's happening when we're being exposed to these EMFs? That's not helping our bodies detox it. It's not helping our bodies heal. There's also some studies done on childhood leukemia and exposure of EMF. So there's definitely like some studies out there that show that it's not great. And so really just learning to limit our exposure by understanding that everything that is plugged in essentially has some sort of frequency associated with it. But the ones that I think are really big that we hear a lot about are radio frequencies. So there's four types of EMFs. There's radio frequency, there's electric fields, magnetic fields, and there's dirty electricity. And they all have different sources. Honestly, we could have a whole podcast episode just on EMFs, but I'll try to like keep it so some like quick strategies of what you can do. So there's like four different types. So radio frequencies are a big one that I think we can try to control a little bit. So that's our cell phones, that's our internet. So some things you can do are when you're working and you don't need your cell phone, just put it on airplane mode and just set it away from you. Like try to increase the distance between you and that device. Another big one is working from home these days, we are oftentimes using the Wi-Fi in our homes. And I know for me, I am sitting right next to my router because it's the only place I can plug it into my home. So what I did was I actually got a Ethernet cable and I plugged it into my computer, and then I bought a router where I can turn the Wi-Fi off. So when it's just me, I can work hardwired in, so I'm not actually getting exposed to that radiation. The other great thing about that is if you have smart devices in your home, they're constantly trying to ping the router saying like, "Hey, I'm here. I'm smart. Like, give me connection," essentially. So by turning off the Wi-Fi, those things are unable to reach it. And so you're getting less of that. You're just getting less of those pings coming at you.
Nice.
So that's sort of the short in of EMFs. I always say to keep things less overwhelming to start in the bedroom.
Okay.
And this is going to go for everything I'm talking about, not just EMFs. In
Nice.
creating a healthy home, start in your bedroom because the bedroom is where we spend most of our time. If you're not working from home, I'm spending a lot of time in my office now, but
Yes.
you spend a lot of time, your body is healing and repairing in the bedroom.
Right.
So focus there. So just start there. Don't be overwhelmed. Just start there. And like, for instance, if you have bedside lamps, so electric fields, those actually look, and you can't see these with the visible eye, but what they actually look like is if you imagine rubbing a balloon on top of your head and you get that static electricity, like the frays of hair kind of going like that. That's what an
Yes.
electric field looks like.
Okay.
So when you have a wire running from an appliance or, a lamp, and it's plugged in and it only has the two prongs on the cord. Can you imagine like what like a plug looks like? You know how there's two different types? You have the one with two prongs, and then you have one
Yes.
with three prongs.
Yes.
So the one with three prongs, that third prong that comes out, that's usually circular, that's actually the grounding prong. And
Okay.
so what that is outside of our homes, we ground our electrical system to the earth so that if the house gets electrocuted, there's a place for the electricity to go back to. And that's going to be the
Right.
earth. And so what happens when you use a cord that has a grounding prong on it is it actually tames those electrical flyaways and it allows somewhere for that electricity to go. Does that sort of make sense? I know that's
Yeah,
kind of a
definitely.
complicated, but adding a grounding prong, even if your lamp doesn't come with one, then you can buy little adapters that you can plug it
Nice.
into that go into the wall. So using
Okay.
those is really going to help, but the best thing you can do is unplug it.
Right.
But sometimes you can't, or it's a hassle. And so the next best thing would be to use a grounded prong.
That's awesome.
And then same thing, obviously no Wi-Fi in the bedrooms, just making sure you're not bringing your cell phone into the bedroom. You're not sleeping next to a cell phone. Just not sleeping next to a cell phone is a really good practice. Because
Yes.
that's just constantly pinging you in your sleep. And same thing with televisions, making sure that everything is just grounded. If you have a TV in your room, the less technology you can have in the bedroom, the better. But
Yeah.
I'm guilty of this. I have a TV in my bedroom on some nights. I like to just watch Netflix in my bed.
Yeah.
So it's really up to you. And it also really depends on like how sensitive you are. There's individuals who are highly sensitive to EMFs, and
Right.
like mold, they can go into a high EMF environment and they can say, I can't be in here. I can sense the energy. So it's really individualized. Some
Yeah.
other things to think about are, and this is really up to you, but a bonus point would be to buy a mattress that does not have coil springs. The
Ooh.
coil springs can actually act as a conductor. And if there's high EMF in the room, then you're now getting that conducted on your body while you're sleeping.
Right. Gosh, the things you don't think about.
Yeah. Mattresses are a big one, and we'll get into that a little bit later, I think, but
Yeah.
that's something else to look for. Same thing with clocks, making sure they're grounded, or using a battery operated clock is a really good option.
Nice. So that wouldn't produce as much because I do have a battery clock next to
Oh,
my bed.
yeah, those are good. So those are operated on direct current,
Okay.
DC energy, which is comes from batteries, whereas the alternating current is when you're plugging things into the wall. And so
Okay.
that's where these like harmful fields are coming from. You're already on the right path with a battery operated clock.
I know. I did a while ago ditch the waking up to my phone because it was just even just for anxiety. I wasn't even thinking about the radiation or, frequencies, but yeah, so I got a battery one. But that reminds me, do you, my phone is right here, but it's out of reach. Do you have suggestions for, I just got a case that's supposed to block some stuff. Is that like a legit thing? I just kind of trusted that it was marketed that way and I got one and
Yeah,
yeah.
it does help, but it does not block it. So okay. I have one as well. I have the Defender Shield one and I really like their product. It does help a lot. Like, and I did test it with my meter.
Yeah.
With and without it. And it brought it down significantly, but the levels were still extremely high, like way over the healthy limit. So, I mean, these things help, but they're not an end all be all.
Right.
And the other thing, this kind of brings me onto this next topic, and I'm going to actually do some content on this because I see a lot of people posting about crystals and crystals protecting them from harmful radiation. And I love crystals. I have so many crystals. I mean, I have crystals. I love my gemstones. I love
crystals. They're beautiful.
Don't get me wrong. I'm the last person who would be lying about this because I want them to be the thing that works because I love them so much. And I do believe that they do hold some value in health. I do truly believe that. However, my mentor actually gave this example, and I love using this, is if there's a cigarette lit somewhere in your house, you're not going to just put air purifiers all around you and like hope that you're helping with the smoke. You're going to go find the cigarette and you're going to put it out.
Right.
You know what I mean? So like,
go to the source.
It's the same thing with EMFs. You know, these things, they might help. Like this stone is a picture jasper and it's actually supposed to like absorb radiation too, but wearing this stone is not going to put the cigarette out.
Right.
So I just think it's really important as people are learning more about EMFs to know that there are ways to find the source of the problem. And that's sort of where working with a specialist would be really handy for someone to actually come into your home, evaluate the situation using very high quality meters that are meant to find the source of EMFs and then give you strategies to mitigate them.
Wow.
So just something to keep in mind as like you're learning more about EMFs because there's so much stuff out there now of like this blocks EMFs and this, you know, and I think that they help, but they're not getting to the root cause.
Right. It's good to kind of have extra helpers, but it's not saving your life.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's hitch onto that and talk about air purifiers and water purifiers, which is something I've learned from you too.
Yeah. Indoor air quality is impacted by so many different things. You have mold, you have VOCs, which are volatile organic compounds, and these come from building materials. And so I like to think about, okay, so what's in my house and what is covering the surface of my built environment and what chemicals could be on these things or in these things that could be creating poor indoor air quality. So if you have the opportunity to start from scratch or to rebuild, the best thing to do is get to the root cause and use the right materials so you're not having to go back and try to fix the problem later with air purifiers.
Right.
So that's one portion of it. As far as cleaning your indoor air, the free things that you can do are to open the windows often. Ventilation is your best friend and it's free. So if you have the ability to open windows, open doors as often as possible, even if you can do it in the winter months, what I like to do is I'll go through my whole house. Even when it's cold, I'll open my bedroom window, open the other bedroom window. I'll go to the next room and I'll open them all. And then go downstairs and then I'll come back up to the last window I open and I'll shut it. And then I'll go through and shut it. That just helps give the house a little flush.
Nice.
So if you can do that once a day, that's going to be really helpful. And ventilation is going to help you flush out VOCs. It's just going to help the overall indoor air quality like tremendously.
That's amazing. Because my thought was, oh, keep it all in, like keep the bad stuff from coming in. But it actually makes more sense to ventilate it and more so let the bad stuff out.
Yeah. Our indoor air is much more polluted than our outdoor air.
Wow. Would not have thought of that.
Studies were done in like really industrial cities and still our indoor air was still more polluted than the outdoor air in a very highly industrialized city.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. That just shows like what we're built, like what conventional building is building with. It's honestly, it's really sad. it's just not enough like awareness around it. And so it's hard to point fingers or blame anyone. It's just, there's just not enough education and what we think we're doing for and coming out with for new technology might actually be harming us. So
absolutely.
So yeah. So opening the windows and then the next thing is managing your dust. So like I was talking about earlier, not only does mold love to eat dust and uses that as food, but mold spores could be in our dust. as well as dead molds, pesticides. I mean, our dust is just a ton of toxic chemicals usually. And it's also got SVOCs in it, which as our building materials start to break down, they start degrading and releasing these heavier volatile compounds that are called semi-volatile organic compounds. And they actually wind up on our surfaces and in our dust. So managing your dust so that you're not stirring that around and then like breathing that in is going to be really, really helpful and free way to clean up your indoor air.
Yeah.
And then moving into not free ways, but starting at the bottom and then kind of working up to like the most expensive thing you could do. Yes. Getting and investing in a HEPA filtered vacuum. Okay. So whenever you're vacuuming, the air blows out of the back. With a HEPA filter, it actually filters the air before it goes out of the vacuum. So it's actually cleaning the air as it's coming out. But I also recommend getting a bag in your vacuum because if you have a bagless vacuum, when you go to dump it out, things are going releasing back into the air unless you're doing it outside. So it's just something to consider there. And then the other things are if you own your home and you're in charge of changing the filters in your furnace, to get a MERV 11 or higher. And you can see there's a MERV rating, and that's essentially just the thickness of the filter. And so the higher the rating, the thicker the filter and the more it will trap.
Amazing.
Our ductwork is like the lungs of our home. So that helps to not pollute the lungs.
Yes.
And then once you've done all that, once you're doing all that, an additional thing is to definitely get an air filter. I really like the Air Doctor is a brand that I really like. They use an ultra HEPA filter. So it filters super, super ultra fine particulate. And I also love it has a little red light. So like I can even tell when my dog walks past it, it starts like revving up. I'm like, okay, my dog's hairy and shedding and not making it easy for me to clean my house.
And then what about water? I know, what are those tall metal things called?
Oh yeah, the Berkey. Berkeys are great.
Yeah. Is that good? Okay.
Yeah, I like Berkey. Berkey's great. The pros of a Berkey are that they're portable. You don't have to change the filters that often. So it's a high ticket price up front, but you're not really paying a lot in maintenance with it.
Right.
I think the water tastes amazing, but you do have to clean it regularly. You have to scrub the filters and make sure that you're cleaning out the vat because it's just a moisture vat. So it can get moldy if you don't maintain it. Ugh. So,
yeah.
But I do like I have a Berkey and I really like it. If you can't afford a Berkey, I mean, even just buying a Brita, I mean, just buying any water filter, just do that now. Like if there's one thing you can do for your health today, it's drinking filtered water.
Yes. Anything someone could buy for like a shower. I did buy like a shower filter. Is that doing anything? I guess it's got the carbon filter.
Yeah. Shower filters are great because I think it takes like 26 seconds for chemicals to start absorbing into our body and into our bloodstream. So I highly recommend a shower filter because I mean, if you're taking even like a 3-minute shower, your pores are opening up, you're absorbing whatever's in that water. So I always recommend to test the water in your home so that you know what you're working with. What are the toxins that are actually in your water? Like what contaminants are in there? So that gives you a better idea of what kind of filter you need because different filters can filter out different contaminants.
Okay, right.
For someone living in a rental, I think just getting the shower filter and getting a Berkey are great because you can take them with you when you leave. But if you're a homeowner, I highly recommend looking and getting a whole house filter. It's very complex. Water filters are very complex. And depending on what your water looks like and what you have in your water, I would just really recommend working with somebody in your area who's an expert who sells different filters and can help you figure out what one's right for you. And also somebody who has equipment from different manufacturers and the ability to provide you with several different price options and explain the different pros and cons of each. So like finding someone who's very knowledgeable, I recommend finding that person, researching that person in your area and working directly with them to find the best home filter for you, because it can be a really tricky thing and you might not need, you know, some filters you could buy online. They might not be filtering out the things you need them to filter out and, you know, vice versa. So you can sort of choose a la carte, which one's best for you. And reverse osmosis is a really great option as well. That filters out everything, but to the point where it strips even the minerals from the water. So a lot of people, if you do that, you have to re-add the minerals back into the water. So just something to keep in mind with that.
And how do we test our water? Is there a little test kit we can buy or?
Yeah, I have a test on my Instagram and the link on my Instagram page that links you to a water filter that I really like. It's, I think it's like $200. I could be wrong with that. Maybe $200 to $250. And it tests for like, I don't know how many contaminants. It tests for a very long list of contaminants in the water. And it gives you a general idea of what you're working with. So that's a good place to start.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I wanted to transition because also the fun side of what you do is the interior design and the prettiness. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that was actually my first major in college was interior design.
Really?
So I was like, oh, this is fun. I ended up in music, but you know, my first love was that. So I'm just curious what, you know, your favorite kind of design aesthetic is or inspirations you get for style or what's like you, what do you like?
Oh man. Well, me personally, I definitely, I love just like clean minimalist, but I also sort of have, I have a very personally eclectic style. I have, I do love plants and I just love like clean lines. And I love having, I love finding solutions that can really like reduce clutter and like having a place for everything. So finding furniture and things that, or really what I love to do is build custom and design custom built-in things for people so that there's just like a place for everything.
Yes.
But I'd say it's sort of like a Southwestern-y bohemian minimalist.
Yes. I love it.
I don't know if that's a thing, but that's really what I love. I love like clean, fresh, bright spaces that allow you to be the best version of yourself, to have a less cluttered mind,
yes,
and just feel really grounded so that you can like do the things in the home that like make you, you, you know?
Yes. I love that.
Yeah.
And so you originally were studying and looking into sustainable options for, you know, furniture. So if we're considering buying something like, yeah, let's touch on the mattresses or, you know, what should we be looking out for, not only with a mattress, but like a couch or, you know, is it important to have organic fabrics or what are we supposed to look for?
Yeah, there's a lot of great companies making good mattresses now. And depending on your sensitivity level, most of them are going to be pretty great options. You want to look for something that has a natural latex.
Okay.
That has either organic cotton or a wool product. Now, wool can also be hard for people too, because they can be allergic to it.
Right.
So oftentimes you want to just like keep that in consideration too. And sometimes companies will actually send samples to you. So if you are sensitive and you want to know, you can call the company and get samples so that you can test them yourself to see if you react.
Nice.
So those are big ones. The things that even natural mattress companies are sneaking in there is they use glues to stop the materials from sliding against each other. Some companies will actually stitch the different components together.
Okay.
So if you really want to go clean, you know, going with a natural latex with an organic cotton or wool that's stitched together and no springs.
Amazing. Yes.
That's like going to be like the primo. And then as far as like sheets and fabrics go, I always felt so bougie when I'd be like, oh yeah, organic sheets or towels, you know, it just seems, I don't know. It just seems like, well, why would I want to spend my money on that? But then when you learn that 25% of the world's pesticides go to the cotton crop, will realize that they can be toxic from all the pesticides that are sprayed on them. So, you know, I do highly recommend if you're going to get cotton, it is organic.
That's so good to know.
Yeah. And just take it one step at a time too. Like I know today I've talked about so many different things and it can be really overwhelming. And it's like, just know that I haven't even personally switched all these things over. It's just an awareness, you know?
Yes, totally.
But like, natural, organic, cotton, silk, hemp, linens, those are going to be really great as far as like bed sheets and other fabrics go. Mm. Some other big ones to look out for too are when you're buying shower curtains. So making sure there's no PVC in your shower curtain, because that will off-gas really heavily. And then the other really big thing to keep in consideration with furniture is the wood. So not all furniture manufacturers are using solid wood. So ideally you would want to look for something that has a solid wood with like a water-based stain or sealer, because the alternative is that they use particle board, and these particle boards can have urea formaldehyde in them, which will off-gas for the life of the product. And it's just really bad for the air quality. So if you can't afford something with solid wood, there are options. You can get vapor barrier sealers that you can actually like apply to the furniture yourself to kind of lock some of these vapors in.
Ooh.
But then, you know, you're spending so much money on a piece of furniture, and I just feel like sometimes it feels a little risky to start painting on it right away.
Yeah.
But it is an option if you're concerned about that. And then the other thing to keep in mind is that hardwoods release less terpenes, which can also be kind of toxic to us, than softwoods.
Okay.
So like oaks and maple, like just hardwood species of wood are going to be better than softwood species of wood.
So good to know. Yeah. Oh my gosh. You've just given us the best intro guide to all of this. Literally the best, because it is so overwhelming, like you say, but now just having this intro knowledge is like, okay, I have somewhere to go. Start in the bedroom, you know, work your way out. And then especially if anyone is experiencing the brain fog and the health issues, to, you know, talk to Ashley, connect with her. There's a solution for you. I mean, you're so healthy now. Is your friend healthy? Has she found a better situation?
She just got into a new environment and in the process of finally getting the remediation and the things that she needs. So I'm really, really hoping that this is going to be her year and she's going to be able to start getting, just getting the things that she needs. You know, healing is a journey. It's not linear and it looks different for everybody. And, you know, although that I feel healthy, there's definitely days where, you know, I'm still working on things. And so I will say though, like, don't dismiss those nagging symptoms or you feel like you're getting older. It might be a reason to look into your environment.
Right.
Honestly, it blew my mind when I realized the impact my environment had on my health. So yeah, just keeping that in mind. If you wanted to check out my Instagram, that's a great place to go. Now that I'm pursuing this full time, I'm going to be, you know, pumping out so much more content for you guys and like creating some courses and some programs and just some good freebies to help people get started on this journey. And like I offer just quick 1 hour consultations. If you just want to essentially do what we did here today, just talk about, hey, you know, I got X, Y, and Z going on in my home. How can we just quick fix this?
Yes.
So that's an option. And yeah, there's just so many routes you can go. So just don't get overwhelmed and take it slow.
Yes, I love it. One step at a time. That's all you can do.
Totally.
What a helpful episode. Thank you to Ashley for providing her knowledge and insight for us. And thank you so much for listening to the final episode of season one of The Modern Bohemian. Make sure you're subscribed on Apple Podcasts so you'll be notified when season two gets underway. And there may even be some bonus episodes in between, so stay tuned. You can follow us on Instagram at The Mod Boho Podcast and check out our website, kristensigmund.com/podcast. I have a blog and my human design services on that website as well. And I'm going to be adding some other kinds of content there now that I'll have a little bit more time to focus on that. So just some things to keep on your radar. If you really want to stay in the loop, I have a newsletter that you can sign up for on the website or the link on the podcast Instagram. I am again so grateful for you. Be sure to share this podcast with anyone who you think might like it. I wish you all the best on your own personal journey, and I'll talk to you again soon.